The Why Me Project, an exclusive presentation of Faith Strong Today.
Episode number...
I have officially lost count.
184. See, that's... Your issue is that you're starting to think more about Christmas.
I am.
And that you're not focusing on the task at hand.
I'm really not. I am so excited. I know Christmas this year is going to be very different.
Sure.
And so for me, in mama mind, I'm trying to figure out how to still make it special for the girls.
I'm sure no matter what you do, it will be special.
As long as there's cookies, they'll be happy.
Oh, I love me some cookies. Now, speaking of special, this is what, the third or fourth time that we've gone international?
Yes.
That we've had a chance to in a completely way different time zone than what we're at.
And thank goodness the time zones worked out.
I'm gonna mess it up and I apologize. David, my friend, I'm sorry, please correct me.
You can try by saying something like blessing, laughing, so that last sound of NG and just adding an A after it. So, nana.
You're better than I am. Thank goodness it's your name and not mine.
I've had a lot of practice.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, your whole life.
David, we like to ask this skill testing question because we never know where it's going to go, my friend. Who are you and where did you come from?
I'm David Nanga, born here in Kenya. East Africa, but I was born in northern Kenya, a place called Turkana. We have 42 communities in Kenya, so I was born very far from my community because my parents were missionaries up there. I'm a father of two daughters, about to be a father of a third child, and I love the Lord, and I work as a director for Bethany Kids in Kenya.
How far is it, if you're to give me like distance-wise, from where you grew up to where you are now?
Around 500 kilometers away.
Okay. So
not sure how much that is. Very far from where I am. It takes you 12 hours to get there now.
Yeah.
So then you growing up, you said that your parents were missionaries?
Yes. My mom went up there. She studied here where I live right now, actually, in Kijabi in Bible school, and then went up there to be a medical missionary. She did her Bible school and also did lab technology, and so went up there to set up labs for mission hospitals up there. My dad actually went to look for gold, and he found the Lord and found a wife.
You got all the riches in the world then, right?
Yep.
What is life like growing up in Kenya?
It's all of, like where I was born, very hot, and in fact right now I'm sure it's still very hot. Kijabi, where I am right now, is very, very windy. We don't get too much of a winter. What we get is a cold, rainy, drizzly season, which is around July and August. Right now, we are waiting for some short rain, usually coming this month in November, but they're late in coming. But where I am right now, it's very, very windy. The wind makes you think it's raining outside. That's what everyone who comes to visit says.
Growing up, was a faith in God a big part of your upbringing?
Yes, it was. I grew up in a Christian home, so my mom is very passionate about telling people about God and Christ and the love of God. And so she started with us when we were very young. We did daily devotions and talked about God often. So I learned about Christ very early in my life. I can't say it was very real for me. As a child, you take in things differently, and I'm a bit of a rebel, so I ask a lot, I inquire a lot, and so it wasn't real for me until after my high school years. That's when started walking with Christ, having a relationship that was more personal with Him.
What was that moment that converted the childlike faith to your own personal faith?
It was a very low moment in my life that my dad died when I was in my third year of high school. That was a big blow for us as a family and for me. And so filled my mind with many, many thoughts and just thinking about life and where it ends up and why things happen and why God does things like why He takes people away, why people go away, where they go. It just reminded me a lot of what I've been brought up knowing. And it happened all alone in my room. I felt a deep fear of death, and I knew who I had to run to once I talked to the Lord and asked Him to guide me through this and to just walk with me. I felt an assurance that I can't explain. I'm not sure. I know that he is with me throughout, and my ups and downs, and my failures, and whatnot, and my journey so far, I've always been sure that God is with me, and He will never leave me. And I think that's what I needed at that time in my life, and I keep needing it more and more now as I grow older.
What did you want to be when you grew up? Was, I mean, with your parents being in the faith and missionaries, was you being a missionary what your goal was, or did you want to maybe, you know, be a doctor, or did you want to, you know, where was your heart?
I wanted to be an engineer. My dad was a missionary. He was an administrator, hospital administrator. That's what I ended up being. But he was also a self-taught engineer, if I can call him that. He could fix anything, and I was always his spanner boy, so handing him the tools that he needed, and that's what my passion is, fixing things. I work now as a manager, but my passion is always creating, making things, and that's what I do on my free time. But I enjoy being a manager too, and working with people and seeing relationships grow and people working together to do amazing things, just like God intended.
From what I know, I mean, and I don't know a whole bunch, and this is probably a part of my ignorance, but I mean, when it comes to places like the poverty in Kenya, was that something that you had to deal with, or some of your friends maybe that they had to deal with growing up?
Yes, I grew up in what you'd call a relatively poor family. We were better off because my parents worked in a mission station, so... Right. That came with a community that supported each other, and so you didn't feel it as much. We always had hand-me-down clothes and even clothes from neighbors who were better off. And I lived next to some American families, and so over Christmas I got toy cars and such things, so I was very popular in school because I could show those to people who'd never seen a toy car in their life. And, huh. And so... it got even worse when my dad passed on, because my mom didn't have a job after that, and she had to move from where we lived, and we moved back to a very rural setting where my grandmother lived. She offered us a place to live, and that was a hard time for us, living without school fees, having to go home because you couldn't pay school fees, and even feeling the hopelessness of not knowing whether you'd go to college or after high school what would happen. That was very real to me, and so it took me 2 years to get into college, and that was all because there was no money to pay for my college fees, so, and we don't have a strong student loan program in Kenya. So that's my life, and it was the same for everyone that I lived around. So made it easier, but still, when you think about your future and try to dream of things, you're hit with some hopelessness, knowing that you need resources to grow, but you know that they're not there, and it would be unfair to ask from your parents or from anyone else. But God's been faithful. My mom took us all to school, earning a salary that would not pay even, I think, a week's tuition for one of us. And I have four siblings, so there's five kids, and we've all gone through college, and it's through friends that she made during her missionary time up in the north, people who'd never even met me, or even now have never met me or met my brothers and sisters, but loved Christ and felt a desire to share, and maybe she lived her life in a way that made them remember her and remember her service to God. So God's been faithful. For his own reasons.
You said four siblings. Where are you? Are you the oldest?
I'm the second born, but I like saying I'm the oldest son. I have a sister who's older than me, and then there's me and my brother, and two younger ones, two younger sisters. My brother is bigger than me, so he's my bigger younger brother.
So you now then being the oldest man, did you feel like you had to take the role of being the man of the house?
Yes. I still do sometimes, but my siblings are very independent and very easygoing, a bit crazy, but but very loving, and so they make it easy. I felt when after my dad passed on, I did feel, and people did make me feel like, you're now the man of the house. Everyone would tell me that, and I didn't understand what it was.
Yeah.
But I felt that I had a responsibility. I always made sure I was the one who closed up at night when people went to bed, made sure the doors were locked. Mm-hmm. I felt that that was my responsibility. But I knew I wasn't strong enough to protect them. But I just felt it was what I needed to do. And I also, now after high school, my desire for a career was for a job that would be well-paying. So I wanted to be an auditor, and that's why I went to college wanting to be an accountant. But then after the first year of my accounting classes, I decided I'd combine that with management. I didn't like accounting as much. but my hope was to get a good education, get a good job, help my mom out with school fees and for my siblings. But God had other plans.
How so? What was it about that? I mean, this is kind of what your plan was. Because at some point, I mean, we had a chance to talk with Peter a few months ago, and he says, you need to talk with David. How did you then end up getting hooked up with Bethany Kids?
That was interesting because a few years after my dad passed on, my mom got a job here in Kijabi where Bethany Kids started in Kenya. And she got a job with what was Bethany Kids then, because right now there are two organizations that exist which have roots, one root. They were called Bethany Children's Center. Now one is called CURE and the other is called Bethany Kids. So she worked there at the Bethany Children's Center as a lab technician, and her boss somehow heard that one of her kids had finished college, and he needed a study done because Bethany Kids had just moved over to Kijabi Hospital. He needed a financial study done to see what impact they were doing. And he offered me the job. It was a three-month contract. I did it, presented the report, and I think he probably liked what I was doing and offered me a job. But then it was a hard time for me because I'd gone almost a year without a job.
Hmm.
And it's very hard for college graduates in Kenya to find jobs. Even now, it was hard then, and it's still hard now. I think even harder now. So I was facing the harsh reality that a good education does not actually lead to riches always. And the job I was offered, as well paying as my other the people that got jobs were being paid, and they probably even earn more than I do up to now. But I think God had a desire to change my heart and to change my view of life, because coming into Bethany Kids, I got to see a deeper need than what I had faced when I was young. Children who would come, parents who would bring newborn children after being told in a different facility or where the child was born that this child has no future. So they're going to die, or even if they don't die, they'll live a vegetative life. But then when they came here, they found a team that I was working with that would welcome them and give them hope, and people who actually knew how to help. And so I was very impressed by the new message that there was actually hope for these kids. Some of them with some very quick surgical intervention, their lives were changed drastically and for the better. And that got me more, I started seeing value in people and seeing the need that was in people and how God works it out for that need to be taken care of and how he transforms people's lives after that. So it changed me. I got hooked on Bethany Kids, and I don't think I'll ever work for anyone else. And God's been good. I've been here since 2005. So.
And you're also the boss.
Pardon?
You're also the boss. So why would you want to walk away from that?
But being the boss is hard. I've been a boss now for the boss. I'm still getting used to it. It's been 2 years now that I've been director for Kenya programs, and I'm still getting used to it, and I'm learning that I'm very inadequate for this job, and I need God more than ever before. So, yeah, I felt sometimes like running away.
Yeah, right.
So, two parts to my question. The first one is, for those who don't know, what is Bethany Kids?
Okay, so Bethany Kids is a Christian medical mission, and what we hope to do is provide surgical care to children, starting with Africa, and it started here in Kenya. And it's just surgical care that they're not getting anywhere else, and making sure they get it, but also more than that, train surgeons, because the biggest, one of the biggest needs in healthcare in Africa is for specialists who do, especially surgical specialists. So we want to fill that gap, train as many as possible, and hopefully when they go back to their countries, they start something similar to what Bethany Kids is, or at least do their jobs while trying to help people who have been told that there's no hope. So that's Bethany Kids. Here in Kenya, more than just the surgical work, where we provide surgery and pay for most of the surgeries for families who are poor and cannot do it. We also do rehabilitation, so occupational therapy, physiotherapy, in a school out called Joytown. It's a school with more than 300 kids with a wide range of disabilities. And we also have a very exciting assistive technology program, so wheelchairs, crutches, orthoses, and prostheses, what we are dreaming of providing to children and young adults who need them. So that's in a nutshell, Bethany Kids.
So then as the director, I mean, you oversee all of Kenya. What does that entail?
So I have a team of, a wonderful team of 31 people, and the first program is a surgical program, where we have a team that makes sure that parents get the care that they need, and where we need to support, we support. We have the surgical training program, which brings in surgeons from all over Africa. We have the rehab program in the school at Joytown, and then we have the assistive technology program. And then we have a team that travels across Kenya. So my job is to oversee those teams, offer just general direction and motivation, and just help them do their job well. They're the important ones, the ones that are trained to do the important work, and my job, I see it as just supporting them and making sure they have what they need to do their job.
I mean, if there wasn't a Bethany Kids, if there wasn't, you know, you're not the director, what would happen to these kids who don't get these surgeries? What would happen to these kids if the doctors aren't looking after them?
For some conditions, it would mean death. There are some conditions like hydrocephalus, spinal bifida, which are neurosurgical conditions. Those need early intervention. So if that doesn't happen, there's damage to the child's brain, and it's progressive damage and leads to death. Others have open wounds exposing their spinal column and spinal cord, and if it gets infected, that results in a lot of things. So it's very dire, very serious consequences. Some communities, it's better now, but around the time of starting out with Bethany Kids, it was very real that kids would even be killed, because families and communities believed that they were a curse. And they needed to get rid of that curse. In fact, one of the people I work with, a wonderful lady called Francisca, check out her video on YouTube. She has spina bifida, and her family, people in her family actually tried to kill her when she was young. One of our family members saved her, and she's now a living testimony. She's helped so many kids accept what condition they're living with and train them on how to manage some complications that come with living with spina bifida. And she's just a beacon of hope for many, many families. And yeah, so without Bethany kids, it would be a very seriously sad state for many of the kids.
Being a dad now of two daughters and one on the way, gender TBA, has that changed your perception of what you're doing for your community?
Very much so, because when the first time when we got pregnant with our first girl, her name is Mercy, I remember us going for the 20-week ultrasound scan, and they call it the anomaly scan. And what they were going to look at is if there was anything wrong with the baby. And I kind of knew all the things that could go wrong or the things that they might find. And so that was made it very real for me. And I still am amazed and so thankful that God gave me two healthy baby girls. And I know it's not anything that I've done that made me deserve that, and it's not anything that any of the other parents have done that made them get two kids with spina bifida, hydrocephalus, or other conditions. And when I see them now and knowing the love that I have for my kids, I struggle to just understand how much pain or fear or despair might be in their hearts. And I just desire to see them helped as much as possible. And my prayer is that God will always open ways for us to help as many as come our way. So that's really changed my understanding of what we were doing. I think parenthood changes a lot. It's changed me, changed my understanding of what I thought before I understood, but now it's more real every day, and getting even realer as we get closer to my other child coming.
Yeah.
This is the Why Me Project podcast, and the chance in the hills and valleys of life where we look to God and we ask that question, God, why me? Why am I put in this situation? Why are you using me, or why is this happening? Can you think of a why me moment in your life where you're asking God in a hill or a valley that question?
So many. So one big one is, like I said before, when my dad passed on, that was a very dark valley, dark and deep valley for me. I'm getting to understand depression a bit more now when people talk about it, and I'm more vocal about it. And I think what I remember about that time, I think I was in that state, and the questions in my mind were, why me, why us, why does this happen to us? And I didn't expect it, and everyone thinks it happened to other people, but it happened to my family, and this strong man who was very caring and dependable was gone, and I just couldn't understand why. And so I asked God lots of whys. I still even now ask him why me, but from a different perspective. When I look at my wife and who she is, I know for sure I don't deserve her. Uh-huh. And I look at my girls also, I don't deserve it. And even the job that I have right now, there are many, many more people here in Kenya, more qualified, stronger, better, well-meaning, with better hearts and better servants of Christ than I am, who would probably do a 1,000% better job than me. And so I'm amazed at that, but I'm always reminded in Romans 11, no one can question God's path, and we haven't given him anything, so we don't owe him. He doesn't owe us anything. So, but just to give him glory for what he's done. Can I give someone else's why me?
Yeah.
I still struggle with one why me that I got from a little girl. Her name is Clementina. She's older now. She was, I think, in sixth grade in 2014, I want to say. She has a condition called osteogenesis imperfecta, where her bones are very brittle and they break with the least of impacts. And
yeah.
So this one time she broke her leg above her knee, and as our team was taking care of her, we were good friends. We talked a lot. She's a very good singer, so I always made fun of her and all that. And she was crying, and so she asked me, so why did this happen to me, and why? I couldn't answer it, and still sticks with me. And all I could tell her was, I don't know, but I believe God knows. And so I don't know why I remember that. She came to me. But it's just a why me time that it still sticks to my mind. And you're doing much better now. And in 2 weeks' time, she was healed. Within 2 weeks, she was healing and she was happy. She was back in school. But I still see her face.
That's amazing. So. Before we let you go, question for you. You said that you're expecting your third. When is your wife due?
Monday.
Oh, oh wow!
Okay.
Well,
congratulations,
yes.
My friend.
Yes.
We appreciate you. BethanyKids.org. You can also go to @DavidNGANGA on all the socials, my friend. We appreciate you taking some time all the way from Kenya, and we'll have to do this sometime soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
It was an honor, it was a pleasure, and just the amazing and incredible work that they are doing in Kenya and around the world. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. So big thank you to them for being so just dedicated.
Yeah, I love it. At Apple Podcast, at Spotify, at Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever you get your podcast, tell a friend, tell a family member.
And you can always head to faithstrongtoday.com.